Morning. We have visitors. We're always thankful for that. We hope and pray you will come back. And if you have questions about the Bible, please feel free to ask those questions. We'll be glad to try to answer them today. If we're not able to answer them today, we'll try to look for the answer and be glad to study with you anytime. Appreciate Brother Nick leading us in the songs and those that have participated in the services. You can see our title, The Power of Christ. Most of the time when this lesson is taught, I'm certain that people talk about the Apostle Paul. And they talk about his thorn in the flesh. And what we're going to say, it sort of surrounds that subject, the thorn in the flesh. But in my judgment, that's not the main lesson. The main lesson is what we have right here, the power of Christ. But we'll study it this morning. And I do want to encourage you, to just read the entire book of 2 Corinthians. You can do it. It's not that long. It's 13 chapters. But when you read it in light of what we are going to study this morning. And it will be so much more meaningful. We will try to mention some of those things in the context. But first of all, we want to just actually go through, in my judgment, some of you may not be familiar with this. And I don't know how many times during the year that you read from 2 Corinthians, so we're going to read these verses, these 12 verses, and then we're going to go back and attempt to explain them and the lessons that are found therein, beginning with verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. But whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body, for out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought, that means worked among you, in all patience, in signs, and wonders, and mighty deeds." It's a passage of Scripture that not only affected the Apostle Paul, but it has a, in my judgment, it has a lot of bearing on our lives this morning. We have people here that are not in good health. They may not all be older folks either. Usually we have people come to services and they don't feel well, but they come. We have people come to services many times. They're actually in pain, but they still come. We've had a few make it to the door and we're so sick, I've seen them turn around and say, "I'm sorry, I can't come in. This is as far as I can go." Lucille Thompson did that one day. She was so sick, she made it to the back door and had to go home. We've had others that have come to services and they've had to leave because of their infirmities, because of their illnesses. So we thank God for you. You are a great example to us. And I hope that all of us will be able to do that to the best of our ability. There are times that you need to stay home. I missed last week. I needed to be there. I didn't need to be here. But I thank you for the prayers. Now let's look at verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." The Apostle Paul was defending his apostleship. And this wasn't, perhaps you could say, this may not be the best way to do it, but this is the way that he was going to handle it. He was going to handle it. He was going to talk about another person. But of course, every Bible student knows that he was actually talking about himself. But the Apostle Paul was so humble that he just said, "I knew this other man. I knew this other fellow." That would be in our terminology. "I know this other fellow. I tell you what, I got a lot of troubles. I've got a lot of infirmities. I've had a lot of things happen to me. But I'm going to tell you something really happened to somebody that I know that was real important." I would be willing to say that Paul never said anything about this to another soul. No, I don't know that. I'm just telling you. That's my judgment. Sort of like David. In my judgment, David never told anybody until the occasion arose that he killed a lion and a bear. I believe that the reason he didn't do that was that he was a very humble man. And in my judgment, Paul was obviously a very, very humble man. But in the lesson, you see that no matter how great you are and how humble you are and how poor in spirit you are, we have danger of pride. We have danger of feeling stronger than we are. We are in danger of feeling like we're exalted, perhaps even above the other people. And if that could happen with the Apostle Paul, then you know that it can happen with us. So he says, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago." Well, what does he mean, "I knew a man in Christ"? If you're a Christian, you know what he's talking about. If you're not a Christian, you probably don't know what he's talking about. To be in Christ is to be a child of God. It is to be born of water and of the Spirit in John 3 and verse 5. And the Bible teaches that we are baptized into Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and 27, and Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4. That's how you get into Christ. And when you read in the New Testament about someone being in Christ, that's what it's talking about, where spiritual blessings are, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, if you've never been baptized into Christ, you're not in Christ. You don't have that relationship that you should have with the Father. Well, we know a lot of people don't believe that. They kind of snub their nose at that. All I can say is read the Bible. I've just given you several verses there in the Bible. You read those, and then you make your conclusion with a good heart and a good conscience. So he said, "I knew this man. I knew this man in Christ about 14 years ago." It appears as if that time period was probably when Paul was in the area of Galatia, called the churches of Galatia. When the Bible talks about the churches of Galatia, It means the congregations or the assemblies. When Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," in Matthew 16:18, that's the body of Christ. That's the one church that you read about in the New Testament, and it belongs to Him because He gave Himself for it, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. He shed His blood for it, Acts 20 and verse 28. But when it is used in the plural, like Romans 16 and 16, the churches of Christ salute you, then it's talking about the local congregations. We have the State Street Church of Christ. We use the geography, Galatia. There was an area, the Galatian congregation. There were other congregations in Galatia. And I have no doubt. So, because he said churches of Galatia. So he's talking about this other fellow, and it's interesting. He says, "Whether in the body, I cannot tell." That's because he's the one that didn't know. I cannot tell. Not this other fellow. In the body or not, I can't tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. You'll be surprised that if you read these commentaries from time, and I'm not against reading commentaries. I encourage it. It's good to. Very often you get scriptures and verses maybe you had thought you had not come to your attention. But there's no reason trying to figure out whether he's in the body or not, because he said, "I can't tell." And he's the one that's telling you. He's telling you that. Just believe what he said. And he said, "God knoweth." God knows all these things. It wasn't important to know whether in the body or out of the body. If that was important for us to know, we would have been told it. That wasn't important. Could have been either way. He says, "Such an one caught up to the third heaven." Well, in the Bible, the first heaven is talked about where the birds or the fowls fly. The second heaven that we read about is where the sun and moon and the stars and all the planets are. The third heaven is a spiritual place. God is up there. Angels are up there. And I do want you to know what it looks like, I cannot tell, okay? I cannot tell what it looks like. If it has some kind of divisions up there, I cannot tell. We sing songs about heaven, and some of the songs sounds like, you know, when we die, we go immediately there. Other songs, maybe that there's a place in between. We know that Jesus told the thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." We know that Jesus went there, but we're not told where it was. Do you know in the Bible where it tells us where that paradise was? Called Abraham's bosom? The other place we read about paradise is Revelation 2 and verse 7. So I will confess, I don't know everything about it. I do understand from 2 Corinthians that the Bible teaches that we do go to be with Christ. I don't have to explain above whatever the Scripture says. I have many questions. But we just say what the Bible says, and we cannot be wrong. So he was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. He knew himself. Said, "I knew such a man." And the second time, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. So he's absolutely firm on this subject. He says it twice. Is in the body or out of the body? Well, let me ask you this question. Who is it that is in the body? There's somebody in the body. You see, people that don't believe in God don't believe man has a soul. So they don't know who's inside the body. You are inside the body. You have a body. When you die and they have a funeral, maybe you'll be sitting right here in the casket. You're not there. Your body is there. You are inside. Your soul, your spirit. So he says, how that he was caught up into paradise. I have read some of our brethren's sermons on this, probably not as many as I need to. And it seemed like they go to the greatest detail to say that paradise is not this third heaven. In my judgment, it's kind of a natural thing that you would conclude that. But if you have certain ideals, your certain, perhaps, prejudices, then you maybe want to, for a certain reason, separate it. just telling you my judgment. You study it. But he said how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So this was quite a revelation that Paul, he didn't know whether he was there in the body or out of the body, but he was caught up into heaven. He was caught up into this third paradise called third heaven. And he heard things that he was not allowed to say. I would be willing to say, just my guess is, if he were to tell us, we'd have a hard time believing some of those things. Jesus, upon one occasion, said, if I tell you earthly things and you don't believe them, how are you going to believe if I tell you heavenly things? Things that are up there are different. We just have a limited knowledge on that. He says, of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now you begin to see the picture. I am not going to glory in all of these revelations, and me being caught up to the third heaven or paradise, I'm not going to glory in that. I'm not going to glory in this fella. I'm going to tell you about it. Now you know why he's going to tell them about it? Because they had men that were commending themselves, that questioned his apostleship, that ridiculed his physical appearance, that he specifically says are false apostles. And you see, that's the broader context. And he got to the point with Corinth that he just had to really, I guess you'd say, shoot both barrels. Some of you hunt, have you ever had a double barrel shotgun? All I had was a single barrel. My dad told me, he said, son, you learn how, you get one shot. You come a better shot, one shot. I always wanted a double barrel. I did have one given to me and ended up getting separated from it. But so he's given them both barrels. But he said, now I'm not going to glory in that guy. I'm not going to glory in that man. So I'm going to glory in mine infirmities. This is found multiple times in this book. Your infirmities are your weaknesses, not your strengths. We all have infirmities. Our illnesses are infirmities. Distresses are infirmities. Even persecutions, if we are persecuted. But compared to the Apostle Paul, we are already up there in the third heaven, really. I don't think we understand how blessed we are in the United States of America. We are extremely blessed. He says in verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. Now, these other people were fools. They really were. They were glorying. Evidently, they had great credentials and they had letters of commendation. You know, when you go to another congregation, you send them some material to read, generally. One time I was asked to speak at a lectureship in West Virginia, and they wanted to know what my education was. Oh, I didn't know. I thought it was all going to be private. I thought they just kind of wanted to check up on me and see about my education, so I put it down. And it came out in the book. I was embarrassed. I told them later, I called the director. I said, I didn't know you was going to print that. I didn't want to put that in there. The Apostle Paul was very humble. And he was going to glory in his troubles, his weaknesses and infirmities. I would say we can do the same thing with our troubles and infirmities and try to thank God because they bring us closer to God. If you let them, they bring you closer to God. I chose that song and asked Brother Nick yesterday if he would lead that song before the lesson. And the reason I chose that was because of the first words, I am weak, but thou art strong. Every one of us is weak. We know we are weak in the flesh according to Jesus. So we're not as strong as we need to be. We're supposed to grow and be strong. We can be, but we must always have this attitude in my judgment. So he says, for though I desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. He's always teaching the truth. But now I forbear. I'm not going to go back into glorying about this person, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. He The Apostle Paul was not promoting himself. Brethren, there are preachers that promote themselves. There are preachers in the churches of Christ that promote themselves. They had them back in the first century. They had them in the church of Corinth. False teachers, preachers, and they're promoting themselves. Paul says he's not promoting himself. He was defending himself. And the reason he defended himself was because of his apostleship. You got to think about this for a moment. These people in Corinth, even in the first letter, read chapter 9. These brethren at Corinth were questioning his apostleship. Let's see now. Who was it that established the Corinthian congregation in Acts chapter 8? Who was that? It was Paul. That's how they began. And were baptized into Christ. And now later on, they're questioning his apostleship. Brother, I might read some of these things in the Bible. They really baffle me. How could people be that ignorant? But I would tell you, I've been preaching for about 55 years, and I believe I've seen people more ignorant than this. You, the people that are visiting, don't think everybody in the Lord's church knows everything, because a lot of them have never really studied the Bible. We need to study it carefully, and I appreciate Brother Tom's continual admonitions. Get up and come study the Bible. We're studying 2 Chronicles now. You'll learn something every time if you listen. So he said he didn't want somebody to think of him above that which he seeth me or to be, or that heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure, verse 7, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, the reason this was given to him was that there was a danger of him being exalted and having, I would say, uplifted with pride. So what God did, the Lord did, was he permitted Satan to give him a thorn in the flesh, to strike him or buffet him with this thorn in the flesh. You say, well, what was it? I do not know. I can tell you that last night in looking over one of our brethren's commentary, I probably had 15, actually it was even this morning earlier, had about 15 different things, I didn't count them, between 15 and 20 different things. Well, one guy thought it was malaria. Okay? I think I ruled that one out, okay? But it's something in the flesh, and God permitted, it's like God permitted the devil to afflict Job. Read the book of Job. So, we don't know what it was, but the ideal of the thorn in the flesh would suggest it's some kind of physical infirmity. And we are concerned about that, are we not? Yes, all of us are concerned about that. And the reason for this was that Paul had so many revelations and things like this. He said it's not even lawful to talk about all this. I'm convinced he had never said anything. But it was to keep him humble. Isn't that something? The greatest, in my judgment, greatest apostle that ever lived. I just can't imagine anybody suffering more than Paul for the cause of Christ. And yet he was in danger of being uplifted in pride and exalted. So he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. So he's going to pray about it. Whatever you have problems, you pray about your problems. And you put it in God's hand, and you always pray with the mindset, and if you don't say it every time, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God will answer the prayer. Sometimes it may be a no, sometimes it may be a yes, sometimes it may be later, or answered in a much better way, and some perhaps a way that we're not even think about. I will say this, that this lesson tells us that God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. You think you know yourself? Peter didn't know himself, did he? I don't think we know ourselves as much as we may sometimes think. So the Apostle Paul, he prayed about it three times. You know, the Lord prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. There's the answer. God answered. The Lord answered the prayer. Said, "My grace is sufficient. You have my help. You have my blessing. I'm not going to remove this thorn in the flesh, whatever it is. I'm not going to remove that. You're going to have that. I'm going to let Satan be a messenger and afflict you with that. And the Apostle Paul understood this and accepted it. And then he says, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." I want you to remember that when you're weak. I want you to remember this sermon and just read 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he says that his strength is made perfect in weakness. I almost entitled the lesson that, but it had been a little long for Odie and them to write on it. But that could just as well be the title of the lesson. So when we are weak, that's when we're strong. What are you talking about? When you're weak, you're weak. We're talking about the soul. We're talking about the inner man. So he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." There it is again. He said, I'm going to boast. I'm going to glory in my infirmities and in my weaknesses. And here is the expression, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I've never written a commentary, so I don't want to be overly critical. But I did read one commentary. I'm not going to name who it was, but and primarily it had a lot of good in it, I don't doubt. But I was kind of interested to see what was said here in this passage about that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It had no zero, nothing. Didn't even mention the power of Christ. What's the title of our sermon? The power of Christ. I'm not saying I'm smart. I'm just saying I don't see how you miss that. Because the whole lesson was that he was in danger of being exalted. He took glory in his weaknesses, his persecutions, his infirmities, because he understood that it made his soul stronger. You people out there that have all these troubles, it makes you stronger. You're a better Christian. You're a better person. Better prepared for heaven, in my judgment. In verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." We would probably say just the opposite, right? You know, I notice that we are living during an age where people want to be strong, correct? I'm not against that. Especially if you're an athlete, you want to be strong. You don't want to be weak. And no matter what your age is, you don't want to be weak. But the truth is that we will all become weak. And I've seen the people that just like steel, arms of steel, and chest and muscles. And then, you know, after a while, there's nothing coming out that way. We're all weak in many ways, and even in the flesh. So, he says in verse 11, he said, "I am become a fool in glory. You have compelled me." When he said, "You compelled me," so like you're responsible for this. Why were they responsible for it? Because they're denying an apostle of Jesus Christ. The Lord spake to him on the road to Damascus. And he was told to go into the city and it would be told him what he must do. You can read till the end of time and you'll find out that the Lord sent Ananias, a hand-picked disciple, and he went unto him and told him what he must do. And here's what he said, "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." I submit, you can't read that and say they were already washed away and he was already saved. We are washed by the blood of Christ when we are born again. And we're born of water and of the Spirit, John 3 and 5. You put those together. "So you've compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing." He said, "I am nothing. But I'm not a whit, I'm not a single bit behind the greatest or the chiefest of apostles." He's having to defend himself, brethren. I'll be truthful, in my lifetime, I don't know, maybe one time, I do know of one time that I kind of had to give a defense. And afterwards, the brethren said, you need to toot your horn more often. I thought, well, that's really a good attitude in the Bible, isn't it? Toot your horn? I'm telling you, that's what the brethren said in a business meeting. We didn't have elders. You don't go around saying this and that and promoting yourself. You do what you can. All Christians do that in a humble way. But he says in verse 12, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, for in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Well, they knew that. Read the first letter of Corinthians. You'll see that there were 9 miraculous gifts of types. 9 different gifts of the Spirit. Well, where did they get that? They got it from an apostle, the only way they could get that. So they knew this. They had these gifts. He worked miracles, there's no doubt about it. He had these signs that they could see. That's why I said I never figured it out. Except the brethren can really be dense and they can be hoodwinked by maybe a more fluent speaker. I do want to say this. We said it was probably in the area of Galatia about 14 years prior to this, if you read the Bible. Some believe that this was his thorn in the flesh, but it is certainly an infirmity. In Galatians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, you know how that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. He had some kind of fleshly infirmity. I'm just going to say, I might get up here and maybe I've got some kind of really bad looking eye and everything. I'm just saying that. And somebody could get distracted with that. And especially an apostle. Say, well, you know, this man's apostle. Why does he look that way? Why does he have this infirmity? I don't know what it was. But he says, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despise not. So whatever it was, they did not despise him. We had Brother Charles Pugh come here and preach one time. Held us a gospel meeting. He came more than once. Charles lost his voice. You could barely hear him. Matter of fact, we did have complaints about it. But he's very knowledgeable. And what he had to say was good. My temptation, which was in my flesh, you despise not, nor rejected, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. That's the reason why some believe that he had an infirmity in his eyes. So, I don't know what it was. If we needed to know, God would just tell us. And my understanding of the Bible, that's not the main. The main thing is that when we're weak, we're strongest. Now, we just have a second left, so I'm going to read you a little bit about these brethren that he had to deal with. He says in verse 12 of chapter 11, he said, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Talking about we was Paul and Silas and Timothy. Paul never took a single penny from Corinth. He argues that he could have done that in chapter 9 of the first letter. He gives 6 arguments. I'm going to preach on that sometime in the near future, maybe. But he gives 6 arguments for that. But he wouldn't take a penny from them. And the reason was he wanted these false teachers, they're going to be challenged. I guarantee you they wanted money. He said, I didn't take a penny from you. And Silas and Timothy didn't take it. Titus was there. He sent Titus. Titus didn't take anything. But in verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, I have a question here for people that think one church is as good as another, one preacher is as good as another, one doctrine is as good as another. I got a question for you. You mean that these false apostles and false teachers they just all died in the first century? You know the Mormon church claims to have apostles today. Do you know that? I'm certain there's probably other religious groups. Do you think one is as good as another? So here they were, false preachers. And he says in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 11, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." You don't go by the appearance, you go by the truth. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, the devil has ministers. Oh, that's just back in the first century. He doesn't have ministers today, does he? Yes, he does. "Also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly." And I'm going to give a little bit of foolishness here. Our time is gone, but I'm going to take time to read this, brethren. Here's the answer. He says, are they Hebrews? These people that were troubling them were Hebrews. And it's obvious they were trying to bind parts of the law probably on him. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Hell, they have been beaten and had stripes on your body? My dad taught me how to use a whip because we had horses. And you do need to be taught with it. You can get hurt with a whip. I've never been whipped with it like an animal, but Paul did. In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. In other words, in danger of death. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. I've been beaten, but I've never been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, that was in Lystra. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils in water, in perils of robbers, in perils in my own countrymen, by my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. I could go on and read, but I try to keep it in the time period. I do want to encourage you to read this book. And you read the whole book. And you will find out that especially chapters 10, 11, 12, and 13 all go together to answer false teachers. That's a lot of material if it doesn't have any application today, but it does. You don't have to go by the Bible. If you don't think we teach it from the Bible here, well, you let us know. We'll talk about it and study with you. We want to teach what's right. If you've never obeyed your Lord, we've already mentioned the Apostle Paul. You must repent of your sins. Be willing to confess him if you want to go to heaven. Be willing to confess that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you have never obeyed Jesus, we encourage you upon a faith that he is God's Son, that he died, he was buried, and rose again the 3rd day. He's now in the right hand of God. Then you need to become a Christian this morning. If you're not become a Christian, we encourage you. And if you have wandered astray from God, we encourage you to come as we stand.